Welcome to the STARS program, seniors taking active roles in society. And now, here's your host, Anita Finley.
This is a topic that many people talk about in the privacy of their homes, and now more and more conferences are taking place, and it's all called Alzheimer's. And unless you've been a victim yourself or you have had a family member with Alzheimer's, you really cannot imagine what it's like. Years ago when I first started working in this field, there was a book that I could hardly believe the title of, The 36-Hour Day, but I understand what that is now. So we're very fortunate. Calling in from California is Maddie Dykewald. She's an author and co-founder of AgeWave. It's a think tank and consultancy. And I have to tell you that her husband, I have heard so much about him for so long, Dr. Ken Dykewald. He was one of the, I would call one of the gurus of the aging population. So we're very happy to have his wife, who is now specializing in curing Alzheimer's. So welcome to our show, Maddie.
Well, thank you, Anita. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So what we want to talk about is, why have you focused in on Alzheimer's specifically? Is it personal or just because you have a big heart?
Well, I think that it's both, frankly, and it's even more than that. I mean, Alzheimer's isn't the only thing I focus on, because I try to focus, as we all do at AgeWave, on both the positive side of aging, and there's so much opportunity and positive things going on with longer life. But we also like to be realists and focus on the things that are our challenges. And I would say that Alzheimer's is one of the biggest challenges of living a longer life. And, you know, frankly, we are at the beginning stages of what I think of as a longevity revolution. People are living longer and primarily better than ever before, but then there's this blight, this potential scary disease that takes away all the breath of your life. I mean, it's just a horrible thing. It affects your brain, and when it affects your brain, it affects every part of your being. And, you know, unfortunately, half of all people over the age of 85 have some form of dementia, and Alzheimer's is the number one form.
And
There's no prevention. There is a slight genetic link, but not just a genetic link. And so it is very scary.
What I have found to be very promising is the research that's starting to occur, serious research. In fact, I attended a major conference, and I think it was the Columbia Hospital, New York Presbyterian Hospital, and they literally now have a department that's called the Prevention of Alzheimer's. And what they're doing is they're bringing people there and they're starting to screen them and they're starting to watch them, whether it's their diet, whether it's their exercise, whether it's their genetics. I mean, it was very, very exciting.
That is very exciting. And there are some still experimental concepts in place and some clinical trials that are experimental that do focus a lot on lifestyle. And, in fact, if you were to go to the Us Against Alzheimer's website or the Bright Focus Foundation, which is focused on doing early-stage research on Alzheimer's and other brain-related diseases, or the Alzheimer's Association website, what you will see is that what they suggest is staying healthy, and that's overall, and they do think there's a super big connection. So exercise, it makes a difference. Eating a healthy diet, rich in fruits and vegetables, it makes a huge difference. Believe it or not, engaging in social activities, you know, making sure that you interact with other people and have conversations and have some fun and, you know, maybe some stimulating activities like reading or, you know, it's not going to prevent it, but it's going to help keep you engaged. Lower high blood pressure levels, lower high blood cholesterol levels, maintaining a healthy weight, eliminate smoking. And this one is pretty interesting. If you have depression, which becomes more common as one gets older, just because of some hormonal changes that go on, get some treatment for it. So, you know, these are the basics that everyone suggests, yes, do these things, and it may help prevent or at least delay the onset of Alzheimer's disease. But keep in mind that if you start showing symptoms, if somebody has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, it's already been deteriorating your brain for 10, 15 years, and that's scary.
I hope that our listeners have read the May issue of Boomer Times, and the page 23 and 24, you'll see an article by Maddie Dykewald called Leadership, A Vision of a Future Free of Alzheimer's. It is so inspirational. It talks about what if we work hard. Here we are, 2015. Maybe in 2025, we will have some sort of a, maybe not quite a cure, but we'll know a lot more. There'll be things, but by 2050, for sure. And so that's why Maddie works so hard every day. She's very involved with organizations that are going to help. And wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about what you said about women and
Alzheimer's. This is, again, I think that this is something that impacts. It isn't, but I know science has proven that this is something that impacts women far more than men. And there's two reasons why. One is that two-thirds of the 5 million seniors today that have Alzheimer's disease are women. So women get it in much higher numbers than men, and we're not really sure of the why, but we know that it's happening. And so this is very of urgent importance to women to get involved in trying to help find a cure, and there are ways that we can, each and every one of us, can be powerful in making that happen, but also in just living a healthier lifestyle so you can stave off those symptoms that begin to appear sometimes as early as age 65, and for early onset, even younger than that, in your 50s sometimes. But there's a second reason that women are truly impacted more than men by Alzheimer's disease, and that is that the most recent data shows that of all unpaid caregivers who provide the care for Alzheimer's and dementia, 63% are women. That's incredible.
Yeah, we know that. I'm just thinking about something that just happened. It's just a coincidence, but I have a friend who has been very strong in a lot of organizations, and she was caring for her father who had Alzheimer's, and they had a big family up in, she lived here and he was in New Orleans, and she talked a lot about him. She was on my radio show, and before you know it, she decided she would get involved with the Alzheimer's organization and try to help them. And she started to, she organized walks, and she's doing great. And all of a sudden, she's on my radio show, and she says, I think her father passed away. She said, Anita, I just want you to know, I believe I have early Alzheimer's. This was on my radio show after falling off my chair. And I was very upset about this and talked to her later. She said, I'm just not remembering things the way I used to. I can't do this. And so I didn't hear from her for a while. And there was a big conference, and there she was. They had asked her to speak. And sure enough, she is one of the people with early Alzheimer's. I think she's in her late 40s.
But that is really early.
But she is now in lots of clinical trials. She is helping in every way. She's organized the way she can speak. She knows where her, you know, where she's has some memory disorders quickly. And I just had her on. I just talked to her last night, and I was telling her about you because she's really a bright star, and she very much wants to be. I think they're looking for people, AARP's looking for people like this woman who's so smart and so aware of all this. So I mention this because if you're doing something and you want someone to be sharp and help you, and she is a, you know, she does have Alzheimer's, so I just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. And by the way, that is one of the things, one of the actions that people who have Alzheimer's and they're in their early stages of it can actually do. Many of them want to take some action. And in fact, the first thing they can do is to really volunteer to be part of some of the clinical trials that are going on. And there's something in particular called the A4 study, and they're trying to look into healthy brains to detect Alzheimer's disease. So, because they don't really know exactly what causes Alzheimer's, but, you know, there's this suspicion that there's two things, and one of them is what they call amyloid plaque. And, you know, it's like the gunky stuff and that works the way plaque works in your arteries for heart disease. Plaque can also, that's the way they think, can work in your brain and, like, just muck everything up. So it's harder for your brain to function well. I mean, that kind of makes sense when you think about it. And then there's this other thing that they call tangles. It's tangles of protein, and they call them tau. And they also think that that can clog the brain and also shrink the brain. So those are the two things that are being explored by many, many researchers right now. And anyone who can volunteer, I mean, the Alzheimer's Association, Us Against Alzheimer's, these groups can get you in touch with the clinical trials.
I think that's excellent advice, Maddie. My guest is Maddie Dykewald, and she is a beacon to help people know about what's going to happen to them, especially if they're a woman, but also she's already figuring what's going to happen in the year 2025, and she wants, of course, to find that special, remember we had the polio vaccine, and now we want an Alzheimer's vaccine. So in your heart of hearts, so you think that's going to happen in 2025?
And I hope it is. I mean, that's my hope and dream. And I think that what it requires is a lot of research that's going on, and there's some of it that's promising, although most of it has been a huge disappointment, which, again, you know, stopped some of the drug companies, from making the kinds of investment that they need to make. But the real big money has got to come from the government, from the NIH, and they're just not putting enough money into research on these kinds of, on all diseases of aging, but in particular on Alzheimer's disease. And it's a huge mistake that's going to cost us trillions and trillions of dollars as a nation and cause undue emotional stress for families everywhere. And, you know, it's just look around you. I mean, wherever you might be sitting and listening to this, if there's two of you there and by the time you reach the age of 85, one of you is going to have dementia. And the only way we can either prevent it or reverse it is to do this research.
Well, I have to tell you that my husband is 91, and he is World War II veteran, flew B-17s. He's been brilliant in his profession as an urban planner, and he's written a lot of books. He just finished one that's very big on how to cure American cities of their pain and suffering, and he doesn't have it, thank goodness. I mean, you know, sometimes he forgets a name, and I forget names all the time, but he's terrific. And so, but of course, my mother had it, and she had the Lewy body type, so there's lots of different kinds, but I think what you're really saying, of course, is that we should all take care of ourselves. We should try to get into clinical trials. We should push our congressmen to start bumping up that budget for research. We have to do everything we can in our power, because once it comes into your family, it is very difficult. And we're just now learning how to deal with people who have Alzheimer's, and that's another whole field of how you treat them, how you talk to them, how you are with them, and what's good for them, the dancing, the singing. So it's a very big field.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, for me, the vision I have in my mind is all the people who are putting all their energy into finding a cure and finding a prevention and treating and caregiving people with Alzheimer's, wouldn't it be great to free them all up so that they could put their energies into something else and solving other problems? Because these people are amazing, and we want to conquer this. That's the key. And by the way, you know, there are, I'm sure you saw it a couple weeks ago, the cover of Fortune magazine featured a brain and talked about the research that Biogen is in the middle of clinical trials on, because it looks very promising. So there are some beacons of hope out there. I have I know some people who are doing early clinical trials on, you know, taking this lifestyle component and adding on to it with supplements, a whole variety of supplements to try to solve the problem. And they've had very good luck with the very early trials. So, I mean, there are some hopeful signs, but we've got to support it as a nation, as individuals, because we can all do something.
When you think about Alzheimer's, too, you have to, I know that there are games and people are pushing to keep your brain healthy, but as my friend said, by the way, her name is Dottie Carson. She would not care that I mention her name on the radio because she is going to be doing a radio show with me. But she said it is not the brain, the exercises of the brain. She said, once you have Alzheimer's, she doesn't believe that that's hasn't been helping her, at least, she said. But it's a lot of the things you said, but some of the clinical trials, and they can't tell because it's a blind study, so she doesn't know if she's getting the, you know, the real treatment or the, you know, the placebo. But she feels that support groups are great. She's forming support groups of people with early Alzheimer's. So they can all be together, talk about it, see what's happening. And so I think it's almost, as you said, it's like a longevity revolution in this one particular field, because it will affect so many people, and it does take away not their life as we know a life, but their living.
Yeah, and their dignity. I mean, that's a huge part of it. And as you pointed out, I mean, it really doesn't just affect the person with the disease. It affects everybody around them and their entire family. And it's got social, it's got financial, it's got health care, it's caregiving. I mean, there's a whole list of things that are impacted by it, and none of them are in positive ways.
One thing that I'm happy about, Maddie, is when I first started working in this field many years ago, people always said, at least doctors, well, we wouldn't know unless we do an autopsy if they had Alzheimer's. That's changed now. Now it's up, yes. You know, they now have the scans that you can see. So there has been some progress.
Yeah, you're so positive. I love it. yes, that is, and that's huge progress, because if you can at least begin to see what the disease looks like in people who are still alive, then maybe you can take that next step and see, well, what is the cause and be certain of it, because now, you know, it's speculation about the tau and about the amyloid. It's all speculation. So we need to prove that. And once you can prove it, apparently it becomes far easier to work backwards to, you know, reverse engineer, if you will, to come up with either a cure or prevention. And so being able to peer into people's brains who are at risk, it's huge.
So my question is, then we can get off the Alzheimer's a little bit. I think we've done pretty well. I want to talk about you, and I want to talk about your family. And how long have you been married?
Well, I've been married for more than 30 years.
So young.
Yeah.
Well, no, you are. I've seen you on television. How could someone watch your television shows?
Well, you know, I don't have my own, but I appear oftentimes on a lot of the business-related shows.
Right.
And, you know, talking about the trends, you know, I'm particularly interested in women and aging. And I think that, you know, women outlive men by about four and a half years now in the United States. And I think that there's, again, great opportunities, but also incredible challenges. And, you know, I'm very committed to the idea that we need to take charge of our lives, especially as we get older. You know, I mean, think about it, Anita. We are really all going to be living longer than we expected. And, you know, that has all kinds of implications. You know, some great, some not so great. And one of the great things is that you have this chance to figure out, well, who do I want to be in the next stage of my life? And I love that idea.
Right.
You know, in your 60s or 70s, you can, you know, basically reinvent yourself. And
true.
Isn't that exciting?
It's true. In 1992, my husband and I wrote a book called Live to Be 100 Plus. And at that time, people said, oh, you must be crazy. And I was on a lot of national television shows with it because it was different. But it was obvious from doing a lot of the research. Of course, people are going to live longer if they, you know, besides having genes, older adult, you know, your parents and your grandparents. But if you're eating properly and all the other things you said. But let me tell you something that you'll enjoy. I hope you'll go see a movie called I'll See You in My Dreams. I just interviewed Sam Elliott, who was down here promoting the film in South Beach. And it's everything that you're talking about. These people did not have Alzheimer's, but they did a lot of the things that you are encouraging people to do, and the women in it are very strong. So it's called I'll See You in My Dreams. It's really a great movie. And we certainly look forward to a book that you, have you written a book yet on this?
Not specifically on Alzheimer's. I've written three books. My last book was on women's economic power and how that is transforming the world. Which I do think is really very critical thing that's going on right now. And I would say that I think that older women have, you know, we're the pioneers. We're the ones who are really creating the roads down which, you know, younger women are traveling and changing the way not just women think and act, but the way men think and act. And I think it's very exciting.
Yes, that's right. So many men are now being supported by women. I mean, I'm 77 years old, and I have so much on my plate to do. And people say, well, how old are you? I said, I'm 100. I'm just, you know, leading up to it. And it's true. Women are different today, and as long as we're healthy and we, you know, we care about other people and we're excited about what we're doing, I believe passion is the most important thing. See, you have a passion for what you're doing.
I do.
I know. I do. So, and your husband has.
I can tell that you do also. Yeah.
Well, your husband has. That's what started this whole thing with him, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I told you when I first started, a great admirer of him, because when he started this, it was the same thing. What? How do you spell the word gerontologist? What is that? But he certainly did a great job, and I'm sure being married for 30 years to him, it's been a big road for both of you.
It's been challenging and exciting at the same time, which is terrific.
Right.
And we have two great kids, too.
I was going to ask you that. Sometimes I hate to even ask people if they have children because more people aren't having children. But yeah, you have two children, and how old are they?
We do. We have a 28-year-old daughter, Casey, and a 25-year-old son, Zachary. And they're great. They're just doing terrific.
So, and do you, what about your parents and your grandparents? Are they any of them around?
My grandparents are no longer alive. My mom is 85 years old, and she just moved from Palm Desert, believe it or not, to Fort Collins, Colorado. And you know, and she has mild cognition issues. And again, it's very common, and half of all people over the age of 85. Her husband is 90, about to turn 93, and he's
great.
Like so sharp. It's amazing. He seems like he's 60. He's hiking all the time and canoeing, and
fantastic.
You know, he's just amazing. And you know, my mom, who's almost 10 years younger than him, 7 years younger, you know, she seems older than he does because she leads a more sedentary lifestyle and has been really challenged by mild cognition issues.
Well, my grandmother, we lived in Miami Beach. My grandmother lived to be 95 and still played cards. That was her biggest thing. Nobody wanted to play cards with her anymore. 95, my mother lived to be 94. Her sister lived to be 95. My father lived to be 88. I mean, if I do everything right, and who knows?
Yeah, it sounds to me like you might be one of the people living to over 100.
Except, as you said, we don't want to have Alzheimer's to do that.
Right. You know, the key here, Anita, and it's a really important thing for all your listeners to keep in mind, is it's not just about having a longer lifespan. You want to have a health span that matches your lifespan so that you can be healthy and active and mentally acute well into your later years.
I'm going to use that, a health span to match your lifespan. Okay, I got that. I'll put that in my magazine and put your name on. It's true. I do think that's extremely important. But you have a great future, and I believe that this vision that you've written, and that we just put in our magazine, a vision of a future free of Alzheimer's. I believe we can do it if as you said, we have to have more funding. We have to have everybody caring about it. And there are such interesting things on the horizon, though. So if you have Alzheimer's, that it can actually keep you from progressing more deeply. That's the other point. We haven't discussed that, but I have seen people who are, there are many, let's say they're daycare centers, but they've been funded really well here by universities. And people go there, and between the yoga and the painting and other things, they seem to be at a standstill.
That's great. That's really good. You know, there are drugs out there, but they just focus on the symptoms, and they can slow the symptoms, which is great. You know, and they don't work for everyone, and some people get horrible side effects. However, for some people, the right people, they do slow the symptoms. They don't affect the progression of the disease, but they can slow the symptoms. The thing I would like to impress upon all of your listeners is, as silly as it may sound, you need to contact your congressperson and your senator and let them know, fund research on Alzheimer's disease. And if enough people did that, it would happen. And that's how we're going to find a cure by 2025. And if everyone did it, maybe even earlier.
Okay, so we should say fund research on Alzheimer's disease. And that's something that everyone, whether you have it in your family or not, you want to do that. So, of course, everybody worries about cancer and they worry about heart disease, but there's been a lot of money put into that. And now we know that there's many things we can do to help your heart disease, but we don't have anything on Alzheimer's. But thank you, Maddie. We've just run out of time. It's been wonderful talking with you.
Thank you, Anita. I appreciate it.
I did also. Bye.
Bye-bye.